very much thank the Lord for how faithful He's been, and I appreciate being here in Guthrie this last few days. You all are very hospitable people. Thank the Lord for you, and we want to invite you to Dallas. It's the same distance from here to there as it is from there to here. All right, so we want to have a standing invitation. We desire that you'd pray for us. And with us as we share with you the Word of God, we want to turn first of all to the 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and we want to start reading the 29th verse. If you have it, you can read it for us. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29.
This I say, brethren.
The time is short. Do you know how short the time is? Does anybody know when the Lord is going to come? We don't know that, do we? So nobody knows exactly how short the time is. It really is that the Lord could come tonight. And if the Lord comes tonight, are you prepared? You may be saying, yes, I'm saved and I've been saved for X amount of years or whatever, but we need to make certain that there is nothing in our heart that is going to prevent us from meeting the Lord, because we really don't know. And it may not be that the Lord might come in 100 years, but He may come for you tonight. So when it says the time is short, we don't know exactly how short the time is. But it says here, but this I say, brethren, it's talking to us, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that, read please,
that both they that have wives be as though they had none.
Now what is this talking about? Is it talking about they that have wives pretend that they don't exist? No, it's bringing us a principle out here that they that have wives were not, and we're going to talk a little bit tonight about distractions, being distracted. We live in an age of distractions, don't we? All right, continue to read, please.
And they that weep. As though they wept not. And they that rejoice. As though they rejoice not. And they that buy. As though they possess not.
So we cannot allow anything to get in our way and to muddle our thought process when we realize that God is coming really soon, and probably a lot sooner than any of us can even imagine. Lord, have mercy on us to be prepared and ready for the Lord, all right?
And they that use this world as not abusing it.
For the fashion of this world passeth away.
But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord. How he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are the world.
How he may please his wife. Now, any man that's married knows that that's truth to that, isn't it? That you're going to care for the, in order to make the wife happy, you're going to have to care for some things about her, right? There's nothing wrong with that. I believe the Lord intends for that to happen, but it can't be to the point that it distracts us from what we know that the Lord requires of us. So there's a requirement that the Lord has of every one of us, and that requirement is that we take care of the matters of our soul. That's the foremost thing that we do. We may have to take care of our wife. We may have to take care of the things of the world, the things of the household, pay the mortgage, and all these things. But the most important thing that we'll ever have to take care of is our soul. And we can never get away from that. We can never forget that. All right? Read, please.
There is a difference between a wife and a virgin.
An unmarried woman careth for the things that be of the Lord. So they can actually concentrate on spiritual matters. Now, a woman that is married and a wife and she has children and she has a family, they're going to have to take care of a certain amount. They're going to have to use a certain amount of their time and energy to take care of their family. And they're not going to be able to sit down for 8 hours a day and read and pray and talk to the Lord and be alone with the Lord. They're not going to be able to do that. Part of their process is that as they are going about doing the work of the day, they're going to have to be spending some time with the Lord as well. But they're going to have to do the things that are necessary to keep their household running. All right, read, please.
That she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world.
How she may please her husband.
And this I speak for your own profit.
Not that I may cast a snare upon you.
But for that which is comely.
And that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. So we want to get to that particular point. We want you, and the Lord wants you, and this particular scripture is telling us that we may attend upon the Lord without distraction. I don't believe that we have ever lived in an age. I've not lived in any other age than this, and neither have you, right? But I'm a little older than I was. And what I'm learning now is that we have never been in an age, and I don't think if we look in history that we can say that we have been in an, that there has ever existed a time that there are more distractions than what we have today. We have a little thing that we carry in our pockets and on our person at all times. And it is so important. This little cell phone that we have is so important that if we leave and we figure out we're getting about 2 or 3 miles away from home, we figure out we don't have it, what do we do? Tell me what we do. You panic? Somebody says you panic. All right? It's true. Some of us panic. Well, what do we do? We're away from home and we realize I've forgotten my cell phone. What do? We turn around and we go back and get it. Why? Because it's become so important to us. And how many times have you driven down the road and you're passing somebody? How many times have you seen someone on the telephone or texting? You see it all the time. And do you know a good majority of people die as a result of the distractions that they have? They're going, their minds are somewhere else. We how many of us are in the car and we're riding down in the car and we have the radio on? We have the radio on. I'm not one of those individuals that's a multitasker. I happen not to have that ability. What I've learned is women tend to be better multitaskers than men, right? It's really true. And one of the things that I've learned, if you're at a store and you see that one of the cashiers is a man and another one is a woman, now this may be one of my judgments that I shouldn't make, but I generally go to the one where the woman is doing it. You know why? Because a woman can do more than one thing at a time. We as men generally can't. I cannot do more than one thing at a time. My daughter is the queen of multitasking. She cannot, when she was a child, she had to be doing a whole lot of things at one time. She can do multiple things at one time and give special attention to them. I don't know how it's done, but here's the point that I want to make to us. There are a lot of things that we've got to get done on a day-to-day basis, but we cannot forget about the matters of our souls. The one thing that I am most concerned about when it comes to my life, when I get up in the morning, it is I am never too busy. I'm never too running late, and I've got to run out, and I haven't prayed, I haven't read, I haven't spent some time with the Lord, even if it's only 5 minutes. I make certain every day that I spend some time with the Lord. Because what I've learned is, when you really look at it, I can read a scripture. Now, I've been running late for things, and the other day, brother, I got up a little late, and I was going to ride out with brother Matt. And I hadn't read very much, and I said, I'm not leaving here until I read and pray. And you know what? Sometimes when I'm late, I think about, I'm late anyway. What is it going to matter if I spend 5 or 6 more minutes being late and spending that time with the Lord? And what I've learned from that is, when we do that, the Lord makes up our time. The Lord does something for us. And I've learned that it doesn't matter if I'm 5 minutes late or 10 minutes late. It doesn't matter. I've got to be concerned about the matters of my soul. Pray for me that the Lord will help me to get it out like I need to. Devil fights us, doesn't he? All right, we're going to go a little further here. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. And I want us to start reading there. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. I want to start reading at the 10th verse.
When thou hast eaten and art full.
Yes. The Lord giving instruction to the children of Israel. When they go over to the land of Canaan. All right, he said, when you've eaten, you're full.
Then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God.
Then you shall bless the Lord your God.
For the good land which he hath given
you. For the good land which he has given you.
Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God.
Beware that ye forget not the Lord your God.
And not keeping his commandments.
And not keeping his commandments.
And his judgments.
And his judgments.
And his statutes.
And his statutes.
Which I command thee this day.
Which I command thee this day. So he says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. In not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. So it's not an option for us to do the things of God. It's not an option for us to do it. We've got to do it whether we feel like it or not, right? If we want to get into God's heaven, one of the things that God requires of us is that we do the things that he's requiring of us to do. The things that he's commanded in his word. And I need to know what is commanded in his word. One of the things that I feel like people need a clear understanding on, one of the requirements that God has for all of us is to attend service. Now, in our generation, it seems like being in church is not something that's very important, because we've got so many other things to do, and we do so many other things during the week, and then all of a sudden on the weekend, I just want to relax, and I don't want to have to do anything on Saturdays and Sundays. Well, you know what? I'm a preacher. I feel like that too. Do you think that every preacher wants to come to church every Sunday? No, we don't. Especially when we have to preach. And there are some times that we want to relax, but we realize and understand the most important thing is for me to take care of the matters of my soul. That's the most important thing. He says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. Some forsake the assembling of themselves together. And what I see, the more people miss church, the more I see things arise in their lives that are not good. There is a reason that you miss church. There is a reason that we can forget who God is and what God is. We can do that because there are so many things in our lives that distract us. There are so many things that if we're not careful, we'll put in greater importance than the Lord. All right, so the Lord is telling the children of Israel, you be careful. You be careful that when you get all of these things that you don't forget the Lord. Read, please.
Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, when you've eaten and built full, goodly houses,
and you've built great houses,
and dwelt therein,
and you've dwelt therein,
and when thy herds and
now that you've built this nice house, hold on here, now that you've built this nice house, and the mortgage, you know, some of us, I've been in real estate for many years, and what I learned is that when I was in my early 20s, and we got our first house was 850 square feet. Cost $35,000. All right? And it was two bedrooms, one bath. We didn't have any children, and I thought that was something wonderful. We had to go in there. We had to paint it. We had to put a new carpet in it. We had to do all of these things that we had to do in order to live there, but it was within our budget. I wasn't making very much money, and I didn't need to make very much money, but we bought a house. And nowadays, what I see that is happening is these same 20-something-year-olds feel like they've got to have four bedrooms, 3.5 baths, 2 living areas with a game room, and a 3-car garage. And it's just 2 people. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Now that you've got this big, fine house, guess what? You got to go to work and pay for the mortgage. And if you got some overtime, you need to get a little bit more overtime because the taxes went up or the insurance went up, and you got to do some other things. You know what? Live within your means. If I can say that to young people, all right, everybody else got it. They've got a 4-bedroom house over here, and yeah, they're 25 years old. But listen, you go get you something that you can afford. Let me tell you what you do with it. You get a small house, and you buy it, and you pay for it. And then when you pay for it, then you can move out and get a little nicer one if you want to. But don't try to bite off more than what you can chew. This is just good instruction anyway, isn't it? All right, so he's saying here, when you built these goodly houses, all right,
and dwelt therein, and
when
you
dwelt therein,
and thy flocks multiply, and right, thy silver and thy gold is multiplied.
What scripture are you on?
8 and 13.
So it says, lest when thou have eaten and are full, and have built these goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flock multiply, and thy silver and gold
is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied,
and all that thou hast is multiplied,
then thine heart
be lifted up,
and thou forget the Lord
thy God,
which brought thee forth
out of the house of bondage,
who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness,
wherein there were fiery serpents and scorpions
and drought,
and where there was no water,
who brought thee forth water
out of the rock of flint. So he's encouraging them. Listen, there is a strong possibility that at some point you can forget about God because of all these things that are going on in your life and around you. Lord, help us not to forget God. Help us not to forget that the most important thing about our lives is to be as spiritual as we can be, to get as close to the Lord as we possibly can. And there are going to be some things that we're trying to keep up with the Joneses, and we're trying to do something that everybody else is doing, and it's going to affect how we keep up with the Lord, with the Holy Ghost. It's nothing wrong with living below your means. I wish someone had taught it to me like I'm trying to teach it to the young people nowadays and the young people that are not listening. Well, it's different. It's different than the way, you know, it's no different than the way it was when I was growing up. The process and the understanding of not getting in too much debt, that same thing is very important. It's just as important now as it was then. I wish somebody had told me, listen, what you do, you get a house, you get a 15-year mortgage, right? And if you can't, your house, you can't afford a 15-year mortgage. Now, you know, they don't do 30-year mortgage. I didn't know I was going to get up and tell you all this kind of stuff, but I think it's important, right? And then you pay for it. You pay a little extra every month, and you pay for it. And that's one of the things that don't have to distract you from spiritual matters. And you're constantly trying to keep up. You're trying to keep up with your friend who just graduated from college and all the things that he has. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter what they have. What matters is the most important thing that you have to understand is that you have a soul and you can't forget about that. All right? Read, please.
Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which yes. thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee. Yes. To do thee good
and
at
do thee
thy,
good
latter,
at thy
end.
Latter end. So the Lord had a purpose and a reason for what he was doing. He said, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end.
And thou shalt say in thy heart,
My power
and the might of mine hand
has gotten me this wealth. Do you realize that you cannot do anything in and of yourself? Do you realize that it takes the Lord to every ability that you have, is the Lord that gave you that ability. All right? It's not you because you're such a smart individual and you did all the right, made all the right choices and all the right decisions. Who gave you the power to make the right decisions and to make the right choices? Who gave you the power for the ability that you have? It is the Lord. We can't forget that. All right? Read.
But thou shalt remember
thou
the, Lord,
shalt remember
thy
the
God,
Lord thy God,
for it is he that
for
giveth
it is
thee
he
power,
that has given thee power
to get wealth,
that he may establish his covenant
which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou forget the Lord thy God,
and walk after other gods,
and serve them, and worship them,
I testify against you this day,
that ye shall surely perish.
As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your faces,
so shall ye perish.
Because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now, you know, one of the things that I know is talking about other nations and whatnot. One of the things that I know every person, probably every person here and every person everywhere else in America is pretty surprised today that we have a president-elect called Donald J. Trump, right? That was not an expectation that Donald Trump was going to win the election. All the things that we've heard down through this last year, Hillary Clinton was a bad head. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter who you voted for. What matters is that the Lord puts in the place who he wants to be there. Whether you agree with it or not, the Lord puts it in there. He said that he gives it to the... He ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomsoever he will, even to the basis of men. Now, one of the things that now I'm going somewhere with this, somewhere spiritually with this, even what we saw here for the first time in my lifetime, we saw two candidates that nobody liked. You know what I heard on the news? I was driving somewhere today, and it said that there was so many million people in Oklahoma that voted, and 16,000 people did not vote for a president. Now, that's what I heard on the news. I don't know what it was. It was an Oklahoma City station. Now, if she got it right, 16,000 people did not like either one of the candidates. Now, let me tell you something that's happening in America. We say in God we trust, and we say that America is a Christian nation. I remember America is not a Christian nation. It's a post-Christian nation. Now, what's happening is, I believe that there is still something that the Lord wants to get a hold for the people of God. We can pray, and I believe as a result of that prayer of what the Lord intended for Donald Trump, and I'm not here making a choice between either one of them, but I do know that the Lord sets up what he wants to set up. And what I do know is we as the church of God and as people, as Christians, we're going to have to pray that the Lord has mercy on America. When we say, Lord, bless America, Lord, bless America. In God we trust. No, we don't. We have become so distracted by wealth, by all the things in the world, all the things that are happening. And if we're not careful, you will become distracted as well. I'll become distracted. We listen to the radio. We're constantly doing something, and we're not praying like we wanted. We're watching the results. What I told somebody, you know what? I said, you know what? I don't even want to vote this time. You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to pray on that day. Because I believe what the Lord wants us to understand is that we're getting away from God. We're slowly, there is a slow recession, you might say, receding. We're backing away from God. Even though we say that we are a godly nation and one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice of all. Let me tell you, it is not one nation under God like it should be. And it's not indivisible. It's divided. The brother brought it up. Now, I didn't know I was going to say all of this, but it's divided. And we need to pray for it. We need to not get distracted because you happen to be a Republican and they happen to be a Democrat. We're all one. It doesn't matter. And you know what? I don't like the liberalness and all of this. I don't like that either. But I believe what God wants us to concentrate on is that we are saints of God. I don't get all involved in the political realm and whatnot. I just need to pray for it. What does the scripture say? It says that we pray for those that have rule over us. And why do we pray for them? So that we can live a quiet and peaceable life. Because the things, the decisions that they make are going to affect our life. Donald Trump doesn't know, Daryl Johnson. He doesn't know any of you, I don't think. And if he does, he doesn't care very much about us in a personal sense. But you know what? I know him. And that man needs prayer. And we don't need to be distracted because of all the things that are going on. We need to be in a position, Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on our nation. Not just our nation, but have mercy on our church. Yes. Do you realize that the devil is trying to divide the church of God? He's trying to put one side here and another side there, and we can get all involved in what side is right and what side is wrong. What matters is, Lord, help me not to be distracted by these little things that are going on here. Help me to keep my eyes focused on you. Help me not to forget who you are. Help me to understand, Lord, that's my brother. I'm not trying to find something that we're different about, and I'm going to say, number one, we don't agree here. Number two, we don't agree here. What matters is, Lord, help me to find a common ground. And I am not talking about compromising either. But there are some times that the Lord wants us to find common ground, and then from that, what does the scripture say in Ephesians? It says, until we all endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The first thing that we must understand is that there is a unity of the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? That means I have the Spirit of God and you have the Spirit of God. And if we both have the Spirit of God, we're both saved. Now, there may be other things that we don't agree on. But Lord, what does it say? Let's go to that scripture. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, I believe. Yes, before I do. Galatians, Ephesians. Read it, please.
And he gave
okay,
Ephesians
let's start
4.
At let's just start at the first verse. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you call. Walk worthy of it. That's our job. Our vocation is to walk worthy. We've been called to be what? Saints. And one of the requirements of a saint is to be worthy of the name. Right? All right? With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Do you realize that if I get around you long enough, there's going to be something about us that is going to rub the wrong way? It's true. There's going to be something, maybe not something great or grand that causes us to divide and you to go to one side and me to go to the other. But listen, I've been with my wife for 33 years, and do you suppose we agree on everything? Do you? No, we don't. But does that keep me from not? Do I not love her as a result of us disagreeing on a particular matter? I think it should be purple, and she thinks it should be blue, and so therefore we've got to split over this. No, we love each other. And we're not going to split over something so menial, something so simple. We're not going to split over that. We're going to be long-suffering. Well, I happen not to like, she happens not to like purple, or I happen not to like blue, or whatever it is. We do not concentrate on those distractions. The devil throws something in there, and we're fighting over something that's not even important. We're distracted about something that's not even of any importance. So it says here, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, okay? In the bond of peace.
The 13 is till we all come in the
yes,
unity.
Yes, that's what I'm looking for. Okay.
He gave some apostles, some prophets,
yes,
some evangelists, verse 11, some pastors and teachers.
Some pastors and teachers.
For the perfecting of the saints.
For the perfecting of the saints. There are going to be some things that need to be perfected in you, in me. And the Lord's going to send things. He's going to send messages. He's going to talk to us individually. He's going to send us things that need to be, he's going to send us an understanding. Daryl, there are some things about you that need to be perfected. Maybe you think you're perfect, but we're not, are we? All right, read.
For the edifying of the body of Christ,
till
we all come in the unity of the faith.
Till we all come into the unity of the faith.
And of the knowledge of the Son of God.
And the knowledge of the Son of God.
Unto a perfect man.
Unto a perfect man.
Unto the measure of the
stature of the fullness of Christ. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. So there is an endeavoring that we have to have in our spirits to come to a unified place. And it's not going to happen overnight. When I have some differences with my brother, it's not going to happen tomorrow that we sit down and we have a conference and we sit down and we come to a conclusion that this is the way that it should be and you need to come to this understanding. It may not happen like that. So there is a long suffering. The reason what long suffering is it means literally long suffering is just what it says, long suffering. So that means you're suffering for a long time. Simple as that. That you're dealing with something in an individual for a long time. And then forbearing one another in love. So it says here, forbearing one another. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Is there an E in forbearing? Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Forbearing one another. You know what that means? To put up with somebody else's shortcomings. Learned a little bit about that yesterday, didn't we? That means to forbear. I'm going to have to forbear with you. And guess what? You're going to have to forbear with me. And there's going to be some areas in our life that we can't get distracted by what we don't agree on. And you understand what I'm saying when I say that. I don't believe in compromising the gospel. And I believe anyone that knows me understands that I believe in the truth of God's word. I believe that we have the truth. But I believe sometimes we can get so distracted with the fact that we have it that we are not willing to forbear and suffer along with someone that's still coming to it. Lord, help us. Now, I do believe that there is a difference in someone that's going away and in someone that's coming to it, but there is still a forbearance and a long suffering that we must have with people that are going away as well as people that are coming to. And the Lord needs to tell us when it's time to cut it off, or else what we're going to be doing, we're going to be distracted by over here standing for truth, and we're standing by ourselves. Now, I know you know what I'm talking about. And it may not be in the center of God's will of what the Lord wants us to do. We're going to have to stand firm for the gospel, yes, but I think sometimes we stand so firm for the gospel that we forget that we have to suffer along with somebody. I'll just cut them off. Lord, help us. Let's don't get distracted by that. All right? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of this faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the stature and the fullness of Christ. All right. So we've got to come. There's a coming too. All right, let's go a little further here. Now, one of the things that I've learned in my lifetime, and particularly here of late, it's really very easy for us to get distracted in spiritual things. Have you seen get distracted spiritually? And the children nowadays have a very short attention span. I want to talk to you for a moment. You got a very short attention span. Have you ever seen the conversation? Remember when we were teenagers and we'd have conversations? We'd all be sitting around maybe at a pizza place and we'd all be laughing and talking to one another. Face to face. Nowadays, just go anywhere. Go to a restaurant. Go somewhere where there's a bunch of teenagers that's out in the world. And what's everybody doing? They're on their little handheld devices, and they are texting each other across the table. And that's not an exaggeration. They're texting each other, and they're going on Facebook, and they're posting things, and then they're showing, I was sitting somewhere, and they were showing each other, all of them. There was like five or six young people, and they were all on their phones. Rather than having a conversation, they were all on their phone, embedded in what they were doing. Not conscious of what's going on around them. Distracted from everything because this little thing, they hold the world in their hands. And as a result of holding the world in their hands, they're all over the globe while they're sitting there talking to you. Now, do you suppose those kinds of things is going to have an impact on their spiritual lives? Do you realize if you go to any church, most churches, one of the things that we find that we're doing, we really are losing our young people. And one of the things, young people, I want you to understand that you need to make certain that you have a spiritual relationship with God. It's not mama and daddy's relationship. It's not just with the preacher or the Sunday school teacher. You're going to have to spend eternity somewhere you've been born. You're going to spend eternity somewhere, whether you're 11 years old or 21 or 17 or 15. It doesn't matter. If you were to die today, you would have to spend eternity somewhere. And so what we don't want is to get distracted and have these short attention spans. They have what's called these ADD. Do you know, I believe that we have created some of that attention deficit disorder. I believe the things that we're doing, they cannot stay in school without having issues and problems and those kinds of things. That's going to have an impact on you spiritually as well. May the Lord help us. All right? So, one of the things that we've said is that we are not a Christian nation, are we? Post-Christian. Psalms 9, verse 17.
The wicked,
yes,
shall be turned into hell.
Oh.
And all the nations that forget God.
The wicked shall be turned. And you know why we need to pray for our nation? You know, I read one statistic, and one statistic said that there was about 4,000 to 7,000 churches. And I know that when we say churches, we're just talking about a Christendom in general. And I know that there's a difference in the truth of God's word. But then there are other people that don't clearly know what the truth is. But just to say the fact that there is a moral divide, there is a group, about 4,000 to 7,000 churches that close their doors every year. And only about 20% of people in America go to church now. So that means about 80% of Americans on a weekly basis don't find that it's very important for us to go, because they're doing other things. They're distracted by other things. And if we're not careful, we'll be one of those 80% that don't see it as being important enough for us to be in a church service. I thank the Lord we haven't come to that yet. But we need to be concerned that we never come to that. One of the things that I see that's happening in churches in general is that there has to be a greater level of entertainment. If you ever go to any church of any size, most churches of this size, and if you go there, one of the things that you're going to see is a big screen on the wall. And they're projecting And in one sense, you think, oh, if you've got a big church, there's nothing wrong with that. But no, what I want to say, what I believe, is there is another reason that they do it. Most of us, most people in America watch a lot of television. All of us get a lot of our information off of some type of a screen. Right? That's on a little cell phone, on a computer, on a laptop, iPad, other folks' televisions. They get it on a screen. And so I think in one sense, they process it a little bit different than we are being conditioned to process things off of a screen. It's a little different. You have a little child that's 4 years old. He can take an iPhone and use it better than I can. It's true. Don't let them be 7 or 8 years old, and they can go in places on that iPhone that I have no idea even exists. And the reason I know this is because it happened to me. Little fella got my cell phone, and before I knew it, he had all kind of pulling up all kinds of things, and you have to kind of watch that, don't you? Lord have mercy. So now we have this big screen. It would be nice to have a big screen right here, right? And then one over on this side. And as I'm preaching, there's this light camera action on me, and it's being projected up here, and you're watching this screen rather than watching the preacher. And let me tell you what happens. When you get a camera on you, you act a little bit different, don't you? You remember when before we had all these cameras and all these videos, you'd go to the mall and they'd have these cameras, maybe a camera that was setting out, and you walked by it, and then you saw that you were on a little screen over there, and then what did you do? You kind of... Okay. You kind of... This is what we did, didn't we? And we still do that. So there is something that affects us in an entertaining way. And now if I've got a camera on me and the lights are there and we've got the theater lights and all that, let me tell you, I know a little something about theater. I did it when I was younger, all right? And so when you're there and you begin the acting and you begin to do the things that you know is going to look good on camera and you make certain that everything is just right, now I don't care about it, right? But if this is going to, everybody's videoing it, I'm not against video. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying, oh, we can't have video, and Brother Darrell, you're in the dark ages. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is we can be distracted by very simple things, and we don't even know it. We don't realize it. We don't realize that those things are having an effect on our worship. They're having an effect on what I believe. They're having an effect on various things about the way that I do things or the way that the church does things. So what we see that's happening in the world today is because people want to be entertained, the churches are going to do everything in their ability to entertain. Because once you're entertained, then that holds that person's attention, and that person is enraptured with what the preacher is saying and all these kind of things, but he's entertaining. You get the choir up here, and you know the songs that are going to make everybody stand up and shout and all these kinds of things. No humility. No simplicity. Just a simple distraction, and we're going to make you feel something. Let me tell you, what we need to feel is the power of the Holy Ghost. What we must feel is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. All we have as a church of God, I've looked at it time and time again, and sometimes I've wondered, Lord, all we got is the Holy Spirit, but that's all we need. If we got it strong enough, if there is a level of anointing in our lives, it's got to be in our lives. You can't just expect the preacher to get up here and pull the whole service. It's impossible. The saints need to be anointed. The singing needs to be anointed. The songs, the prayers, the testimonies need to be anointed. That's all that sets us apart from anybody else. And if we don't have that, what's going to happen is we're going to begin to turn to the things that literally distract us from God. There are a lot of churches nowadays that don't have... I watched somebody that was... Somebody actually told me this. Now I believe that you could take one scripture and you can expound on it. And you can go very deep into it. I'm not against that. But sometimes you can have somebody that just, all they're up there for is to entertain you and make you feel good about doing a little bit of nothing. Lord, help us. So, our nation can't forget God. And the only way for our nation not to forget God is for me and you not to forget God. All right, let's go to Mark, the 4th chapter, 14th verse. Mark 4, 14.
Mark 4?
Yes.
And 14, the sower soweth the word.
The sower soweth the word.
And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown.
Yes.
But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately.
Satan cometh immediately.
And taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts.
Taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts.
And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground.
Which are sown on stony ground.
Who when they have heard the word.
Who when they have heard the word.
Immediately
receive it with gladness.
And have no root in themselves.
And they have no root in themselves.
And so endure
for a time.
Afterward,
when affliction or persecution
arises
for the
word's
sake,
immediately
they are offended.
And these are they,
which are sown among thorns,
such as hear the word,
and the cares of this world,
and the deceitfulness of riches,
and the lust of other things, entering in,
choke
the word,
and it becometh
unfruitful.
And these are they
which are sown on good ground,
such as hear the word,
and receive it,
and
bring forth fruit,
some 30-fold,
some 60,
and some
100-fold. So it says here, the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. You know what? Over my lifetime, I've been in Dallas for about 27 years, and as a pastor there, or in the ministerial position for more than 27 years. And you know, I've seen a lot of people come and go. I've seen a lot of people get saved. And I believe that if every person got saved that got saved were still there and stayed saved, our building wouldn't be able to hold them. There have been a multitude of people. And what we can see, what you can see over a period of time, is that when it starts good, and they're coming, and they're there on a regular basis. One of the things that I'm trying to tell someone, I know that there are people that live miles and miles away from us. So a few of the saints have to drive for maybe an hour and a half or so to get to church, and they're there every Sunday. Because they're committed to it. They're not going to let something distract them from being in the service of the Lord. Then we have some that live maybe 10 or 15 minutes away, and there is a multitude of time that they're not in service. I've said this over the years. I'm not just saying it for here, because I don't want you to go back home and think that I'm talking about somebody in present tense. All right? Even though I am. But what we find out is that there are some people that just said, I will not allow these things, these cares of the life. Yes, I've got to go to work on Monday. Yes, I'm tired. And one of the things that I've learned is one of the things I tried to teach my children, you're going to church whether you feel like it or not. And as a pastor's child, they had to go to church whether they want to or not. They never complained about it. We conditioned them to be able to go to church. And as I said earlier, there are some times that I just don't feel like going to church. And let me ask you this. Those that work, do you want to go to work every day? Are there some times, those that have been on the job for decades, have you wanted to go to work every single day that you've been on that job? I want to see your hand. Yes, I love my job, and I wanted to be there every day that I was there. There was never a time that I didn't want to be at work. But you know what? No, you didn't want to be there, but you were there anyway, because if you didn't go there, you weren't going to get the money. Right? And you weren't going to be able to eat. Well, let me tell you, it's important. I want to tell you how important it is. I want to tell you how important it is for us to be in service, in the service of the Lord, whether we feel like it or not. So the Lord helped me to see, you know, that there's sometimes that I'm tired. There's sometimes I have a headache. There's sometimes I just don't feel like it. But I say, you know, and then when I go, the Lord blesses me. Every time. I've never been in a service where I haven't been blessed. And so I don't let the things that try to distract me and get my attention over here, and I'm doodling over here, and the Lord is calling me over here. I want to be in the center of God's will all the time. That's where the blessings are. right in the middle of His will. And so I'm not going to let these other things, the cares of this world and all this. Yes, we've all had to pay mortgages and different things. And it would have been nice if we could have gotten double time on Sunday. But no, I believe what the Lord will do is the Lord will give you more than double time if you give Him your time. I've seen the Lord bless us, and I've seen the Lord just bless us with things that I wouldn't even believe. I've given the Lord my last $10, and He's given me $20 before I walked out of the church. You can't beat God giving. Don't let these little things in your life distract you. But I believe what the Lord wants you to do is to attend upon the Lord without distraction. I don't want anything here to hinder me from being what the Lord wants me to be. All right. 2 Peter. First chapter. Start at the 4th verse.
2 Peter 1 and 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers
might
of
be
the
partakers
divine nature,
of the divine nature,
having escaped the corruption that
having
is
escaped
in the world
corruption
through lust.
That is in the world through lust.
And beside this,
giving all diligence,
add to your faith virtue, and to
virtue knowledge,
and to
knowledge temperance,
and to temperance patience,
and to patience godliness,
and to godliness brotherly kindness,
and to brotherly kindness
charity.
For if these things be in you and abound,
they make you
that ye shall neither be barren
or
unfruitful
in the knowledge
of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it says here that there is some work for us to do, isn't it? And we're going to have to put forth some effort in order to be what God wants us to be. So it says here that I've got to do a little bit of addition. I've got to add some things to it. And He said, besides all this, give all diligence. So make certain, Lord, I've got to be diligent about making certain that I'm in the center of your will at all times. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if all these things be in you and abound, they make you where you're neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord wants us to be fruitful, doesn't He? And the only way for us to do it is to attend upon it, to make certain that I add to these things, that, Lord, I make a conscious effort to be what God wants me to be. I make a conscious effort to get things out of my life, the weeds out of my life, and to put things in my life that I know are going to be beneficial and going to help me through the times that I'm going through or the things that we're going through. May the Lord help us to do that. Now, let's go a little farther here. I believe what the Lord wants us to get to talk a little bit more about is that there are some times that the things and the cares of this life and the issues of life, they get to us a little bit. And there are times that we need to get away. Let's go to Matthew, the 14th chapter and the 23rd verse. Matthew 14, verse 23.
And when He had sent the multitudes away,
let's start at 22.
And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship,
and
to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away.
So Jesus was quite a teacher, wasn't He? And every time that He would teach, there would be a great multitude that would sit down and be inspired by what He had to say, and they wanted to listen to Him. But it comes a time that we have to send the multitude away. As ministers, if you're a minister, if you're a teacher, if you're whoever you are, there are times that we need to get quiet with the Lord ourselves and shut the world out. Don't have anything to do with the world. I want to just spend some time with the Lord. And what I believe is very necessary for all of us is that we need to take, I believe mornings are the best time, but whatever time the Lord gives you, then you need to take a little time in the morning and just spend that time with the Lord. So He says here, He sent them, and straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitude away.
And when He had sent,
when
the,
he
multitudes
sent the multitude away,
away,
He
went up into a
mountain apart to pray.
And when the evening was come,
He was there alone. Why do you suppose that the Lord gives us this example where He was alone? This is the Lord, the God of all creation. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have done a whole lot of things and replenished himself. But do you know, there are times that we need to be alone. You've got a little cell phone in your pocket. Most of us, if probably not every single one of us, have a little cell phone in our pocket. What benefit is it if the battery goes out? Can you call anybody? Can you get any help? You can't do anything. But what happens is every day we've got to charge, we've got to recharge it. I've got to charge my phone every day. And in the same way, and let me tell you what happens, I've got to plug it in to the source. And once I plug it into the source, there's something from that source that replenishes it and makes it where it's useful again. And in the same way, it's how we are. There needs to be a plugging in to the spiritual source. And when we plug into the spiritual source, there is a replenishing of our spiritual energy, and we're able to go yet another day. We're able to face yet another temptation. We're able to get yet another victory by the grace and the power of God. It's not in us to be able to do it, but it's the power of God. And if we do not have that power, if we run down, have you ever been in a situation? I've got a little cell phone, and I had to get a new one because one of the issues I had was the battery kept going down. No matter when I charged it, it said it had 50%, and then I talked for 2 or 3 minutes and it'd go completely out. That's of no benefit to anybody, is it? You are of no benefit to anybody if you don't get replenished spiritually. You can't help anybody. You can't go through your own trials like you need to. You're going to have some issues in your own life if you don't get replenished by the Lord. So the Lord said, all right, I'm going to send the multitude away. I'm not going to talk on the phone anymore. I'm going to turn the phones off. I'm going to get alone with the Lord. Jesus Christ, if he had to do it, don't you suppose you have to do it as well? Do you suppose if he had to plug into the source, the Father, do you suppose if he had to do it, you have to do it on a regular basis as well? Do you know one of the reasons for these kinds of revivals is that the Lord comes down and he speaks to us and you plug in and you say, Lord, I needed this. I needed something in my spirit. Maybe it's just one sentence. Maybe it's just one thought that replenished you, that gave you the fight. I can go one more day. I can keep going by the grace of God. I can make it. Maybe there was something that was said, maybe in a song. It doesn't even have to be in the preaching. It could be in a song. It could be in a testimony. It could be in something that someone said as they were speaking to you that recharged you and gave you what you needed to go yet another day by the help and the grace of God. All right? All right, read.
But the ship was now in the midst of the sea,
tossed with the waves,
for the wind was
contrary.
In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went
unto them,
walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying,
it is a spirit.
And they cried out for fear.
I would have probably cried out for fear too. So, someone walking on the water. All right?
But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer.
Be of good cheer. Now,
it is I.
You know, there's something about that. Now, you see this person in the middle of, first of all, you've got to understand what was going on with the disciples. You're in the middle of the sea and it's tossing. And there's a certain fear that goes along with that, right? There's a certain fear that if you're in the middle, have you ever been up in an airplane and it starts shaking? And you tell me you're not scared. Tell me, you know, that doesn't give you a little bit of, your heart starts pumping. Yeah, of course it does. Well, it's the same principle. They're here on the water and it's going back and forth and there's still this little fear in their heart. And then all of a sudden you look out and it's dark. And that's a little fear factor as well. It's dark and all of a sudden you see something walking on the water. That'd make you scared, wouldn't it? Of course it would. And so already coupled with what you're already dealing with, you see him walking on the water and then you really don't know what to think. Am I dying? Am I about to go to heaven? Because this is what we feel like. And then the Lord speaks. He said, be not afraid. 'Tis I. Be of good cheer. And then there's something that recharges my heart. It takes away the fear. I'm not distracted anymore by the waves and by this one walking on the water. I hear his words, and by his words, I'm recharged. I'm inspired, I believe. And Peter, in one place, Peter was charged enough to say, Lord, if it's you, let me walk to you on the water. That's quite something, isn't it? All right, read.
And Peter answered him and said,
Peter answered him and said, because he knew that he felt it in his heart. All right, read.
Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come.
And he said, come. One word. And I can just see Peter on the boat, just getting ready. He's going, I'm going to try this. I'm going to see what happens. And he reaches over and he steps, and it's solid. But why is it solid? Because of the power in the Word of God. Lord, have mercy. There is power in the Word of God. It recharged Peter enough. All the fear was gone. And now he's getting ready to do something that's never been done by another man. All right? Come.
And when Peter was come,
Peter was come down out of the ship,
he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to
Now, here is his distraction. He was doing something wonderful. He was doing the impossible. The Lord was blessing him. And now all of a sudden, he gets distracted. And rather than keeping his eyes on the Lord, he starts putting his eyes on all the problems and the waves and all of this. And because of the distraction, he began to sing. Do you realize we do the same thing? Do you realize that we have a level of victory and the Lord is helping us to do things that are victorious and wonderful? And we're doing the impossible. We're walking on the water. And then someone comes up and whispers to us, you know, what you're doing is impossible. And then you start thinking about it. You know what you're doing. Or somebody comes up and explains to you why you can't do what you're doing. And you start believing them than what the Lord has shown you. People can distract us. People's thoughts can distract us. What people say about us, about what we are doing, can distract us. Because there's something in most of us that want to please everybody. And this is why sometimes I believe the Lord doesn't want us to tell everybody what we're doing. Because everybody doesn't have the faith that God has given you regarding that particular matter. Now you see everybody else staying up in the boat. But Peter got down, and Peter was distracted by the waves and all the things, and he got distracted by him doing what God had told him that he could do. All right? And when he saw the winds boisterous, when he was distracted, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And you know the Lord is a gracious, wonderful God. He could have just let him sink. He said, no, you swim back to the boat. He didn't do that, did he?
And immediately. Jesus stretched forth his hand.
Before a space of time, Peter did something that no one else has ever done before or since. Do you know, I believe that there are some times that the Lord wants you to know, wants us to know, that you can do the impossible. You can do it. I will bless you in that way if you don't get distracted. I'll bless you in that way if you'll just keep your eyes on me. I'll bless you in that way if you don't forget that your trust is in me and not in yourself and your ability. And it's not in everybody around you. Your trust is in me. And if you don't get distracted from that, you'll be able to walk from here to there and you'll be able to do whatever it is that you desire to do. Lord, help us. All right? Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Why did you get distracted? Why do you start looking around you and seeing all the things and all the impossibilities? Why didn't you do that? Why? And when they were come into the ship, I wonder how they came into the ship. I wonder if the Lord, you know what I believe in my mind? I believe that Peter did not let go of God's hand, of the Lord's hand. I don't believe Peter was distracted. I don't believe the Lord picked him up and carried him. I don't think he got on his back. I don't know how far he had gone out, but he had gone far enough to make a few steps. They turned around and the Lord reached out and got his hand. And Peter said, if I were Peter, I'd have had both of the Lord's hands. I'd have had it with both of mine, and I wouldn't have let it go until we got back on that boat. I'm not going to be distracted again. I'm going to keep my focus. And I believe that's what the Lord wants to say to us. Don't be distracted again. Keep your focus. I want to bless you. All right, read, please.
And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased.
The wind ceased.
than they that were in the ship,
came and worshiped
him, saying,
Now, why did the Lord, have you ever thought about this sometime? Well, Lord, you could have made the wind cease before we even got in the ship. But, you know, sometimes the Lord allows these things to happen to us. And he wants it to be rocky because he wants to teach us faith in him. All right. And then they which were in the ship became
and
worshiped
him,
saying,
saying
of a truth,
thou art the Son of God.
All right. And read.
And when they were gone over, into the land of Gennesaret.
Yes.
And when the men of that place had knowledge of him.
Yes.
They sent out. Into all.
Okay, that's good enough. Let's go. Let's drop down and go to Mark, the 6th chapter. I want to read another situation with the Lord there. So we want to get a hold of this. Mark 6, verse 31. We want us to get a hold of the fact that the Lord wants us to attend upon the Lord without being distracted from the things that distract us in a natural sense. There are a lot of natural things that distract us. Whether you're not, you're married, you got to go to work. You got children. You're going to have to go to work even longer and harder because you've got to support them. Your responsibility is to support your children. If you're a father, if you're a mother, and one of the things that I say to young men, and I believe that I see it here is very good, is that it's not a woman's responsibility to go to work. It's a man's responsibility to support her, isn't it? Now, if a woman has to work, I know some women have to work, and if they have to work, I'm not against that. But the man needs to understand that he is the breadwinner, and it's not the 50-50. You go and you make it, and we bring it together, and we put it together. She's helping you. She's doing your job. So the man needs to understand that. So there are going to be times that you're going to maybe have to go to work and work a little harder, maybe two jobs. I've had to have two jobs over my one time, if you include the ministry, I had three jobs. Just in order to make ends meet. And do you suppose that there were a lot of distractions that I had that I could have not gone to church or I could have not taken care of the matters of my soul? I could have just been all out for material wealth. I could have done that. And I think I could have made a lot of money. But you know what? That's not what the Lord called me to. The Lord called me to this. And one of the things over the years, I've tried not to get distracted by going out and trying to do what everybody else is trying to do. The Lord has supplied my need and he's still supplying it. I'm not going to be distracted. My soul is not going to be I'm not going to allow my soul to be distracted running after wealth. Lord, help us. All right. Mark 6. We're moving toward our conclusion. Appreciate your patience. Mark 6, verse 31.
And he said unto them,
Come
ye yourselves apart unto a desert place.
Now he's telling them, first of all, what we see is Jesus went and he was alone and he prayed and he was replenished. Now he's telling it to his disciples, come ye apart to a desert place
and rest a while.
Now, if you know the situation up earlier, it says in the 30th verse, and the apostles gathered themselves together into Jesus and told him all the things, both that what they had done and what they had taught and all this. And we find out early, further up in the scriptures about John the Baptist and how he had, his disciples were disappointed. And there's some time that he had gotten his head cut off and his disciples were concerned about that. And they're coming to the Lord and they're saying, Lord, and they're telling all the things that we're done. You know, sometimes, you know, preachers, you know, we have problems. And there are times that we need to be encouraged, don't we? There are times that we want to go to the Lord and we say, Lord, I'm in trouble. There are some things that are happening. It may be in the congregation. There are some things that are happening in my family. We have family issues as well. We've got to make ends meet. We've got all the problems that everybody else has. And then on top of that, we have the problems with the church. And then we've got to deal with whatever issues that you may come to us about. You know, we have a lot to deal with on a regular basis. Now, let me say, I'm not complaining about that because God gives us, as part of the gifting, is that God gives us the power to do it. He gives us the wisdom to do it. But there are times that they're coming here and they're pouring their heart out to the Lord. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So, Lord, this is what we did. This is how they responded. Sometimes we're encouraged by it. Sometimes we're not so encouraged by it. But, Lord, here's where we are. And so the Lord said, all right. And he said unto them, all right, come yourselves apart to a desert place and rest a while. You need some rest.
For there were many coming and going.
There were many coming and going.
And they had no leisure,
much
as to eat.
So much as to eat. They're so in tune and so devoted to the work of the Lord, that they're tired. They're tired. And we have the ability to kill them. You know, a lot of ministers die in their 50s. I'm in my 50s. Don't kill me. Really? I can name several of them that have died in their 50s. Now, here's Jesus, and they're coming, they're tired. Lord, oh Lord, here are the problems that we're having. This is what happened. This is what I taught. This is what they did. This is how they responded to me. And he said, y'all need some rest. Go someplace and rest a while. He said there was many comings and goings. They had no leisure, so much as to eat.
And they departed into, a desert place by ship privately.
So they obeyed the Lord. All right. And they come to the conclusion that they needed a rest. Well, you know what? Let me tell you. Our congregation did something wonderful to us a couple of years ago. They sent us to Hawaii. They sent us there for about a week. And we were in a nice hotel, and we didn't go to church. I didn't worry about it. I turned off the phone. Don't call me with any problems. If my mom, my daddy or somebody, if they don't die, anything else can wait. Don't call me. All right, read. Let's see what happens. Now, we say that, but it doesn't always happen like that. Read, please.
And the people saw them departing.
Now, the people saw them departing.
And ran afoot thither out of all the cities.
They ran thither out of all the cities.
And out went them and came together unto him.
And came together unto him. So they knew where they were going. They were going to rest. And the folks were saying, listen, I got a problem. I got a hangnail. My back hurts. Oh, that can't wait till I get back? No, Brother Dale, we need you to pray for us. We need you to pray for yourself. Scripture says if anybody is afflicted, what's the first thing you do? Call the preacher? Go get anointed? No, pray. You do it. If you got a hangnail, pull it off. Clip it off. Do something, but you don't have to have me to do it for you. So they saw that they were going someplace, and they outran them and got there before they did. Do you know, have you ever flown someplace and you're going on vacation and somebody, we always have that one, don't we? Well, nowadays, they're not going to outrun you, but let me tell you what happens. You know, when you get on an airplane, you got to put your phone on airplane mode, right? Well, if I text him now, when he lands, and he turns his phone on, the first thing that's going to ding up is my message. Call me ASAP. We have problems. Y'all laughing, but this stuff happens. It happens. It happened in Jesus' time. We just have cell phones. They didn't have cell phones. They knew where he was going. But it happened then and it's happening now. We're almost finished. Read, please.
And Jesus, when he came out,
Saw much people
and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep.
Because they were as sheep,
not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent,
let me tell you, people will wear you out. They will kill you if you let them. They will. Lord, help us. And you know what? Let me tell you something about a pastor. I am a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. I do the work of evangelists. But I do believe that the Lord gave me the gift of a pastor. And there's some weight that a pastor has that the congregation is a sheep. And I was having a conversation with another minister not too long ago about this. There is a weight that goes on the pastor that no one else can really. I can't explain. My wife is not a pastor, but she's a pastor's wife, and I believe she's a very good one. And there are some things that I go beyond, and I do it, and she says, why are you doing that for them? Let them do it themselves. But then there is this connection that you have with those individuals that you love them. And you want to make certain that they are well taken care of. And this is what Jesus said. When he saw all of them there, he is the chief shepherd. And when he saw all of them that had outrun, they had put forth some effort to get to that spot that they knew that they were coming to. Now, keep in mind, the disciples were going there, and the Lord had told them to go there to rest. And when they got there, the people were there, waiting on them. And the Lord, in his compassion, realized, yes, the disciples needed rest, but these individuals, oh, I feel so sorry for them. Lord, have mercy. Father, have mercy on them. He began to teach them. He began to talk to them. And then all of a sudden, and when they said, when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said,
send them away.
This is a desert place. And now the time is far past. Send them away. You told us to come here. He said, now what did he say in the 31st verse? Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. So they're coming to the Lord and they're saying, Lord, you told us to come here and rest. We told you all the frustrations and the things that we're going through. We just need some downtime. We just need some time to ourselves away from all the distractions of all the people. And we appreciate it. We've given you the opportunity to talk to these people all day long. But we want some time with you, Lord. Just us. Just our family, just the disciples, and their Christ. Just the one that can replenish them, the one that they can tell all their burdens to, and they can lay everything out. And Lord, you told us to come to this desert place. Now, this is a desert place. This is where you told us to come. Now, look at what you've done. We've been here all day long. You're still dealing with the people. Those are the same people that were over there that you told us to get away from. Now, Lord, would you send them away? Just let them go home. So that we can be by ourselves. Now you think that this kind of stuff isn't in the Bible? So this, why is it in the Bible? It's for us to get a hold of, isn't it? Is that when the Lord, when there is a minister in a particular situation, whatever, we need rest too. Are y'all going to let me come back? Or is this the last time I'll be able to come to Guthrie? I can come back. All right, somebody said I can come back. Everything that I'm saying is in the Bible. I want you, if you haven't written down the scriptures, write them down. I'll give you some of the scriptures if you need them. Write them down and see if what I'm saying is not what the Bible says. There are times that all of us need to be replenished. All of us need to be alone. And so he said, send them away, and send them away. What did he say?
That they may go into the country roundabout.
They may go into the country round about.
And into villages.
And
into
villages and buy themselves some bread.
For they have nothing to eat.
For they have nothing to eat, Lord. All right?
He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said unto them.
They said unto him.
Unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He said unto them. How many loaves have ye?
Go and see.
When they knew, they say five.
And two fishes.
He commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. They sat down in ranks.
All right, so we know what the story is. We don't have to read that. But the point that I want to make is, but the Lord wants us to understand and wants us to see that everybody needs to be away from distractions. And there are some times that even though we may be pastors, even though we may be ministers, even though we may be maybe a Sunday school teacher or whatever capacity or in the ministry in some other kind of capacity, school ministry, we're able to go to the school today. And see the wonderful ministry that's going on there. But you know what? The teachers need rest as well. There are going to be times that all of us need to get away and just let the Lord replenish us. It's nothing wrong with that. It's not wrong. It's what the Bible says. It's what the Lord told the disciples to do. If we do that, then we won't be so distracted by the things of this world. And we won't get to the point that we get to the point of burnout. I'm so burned out. I've had to do this for so long. It's just more than what I can have. I don't want to do it anymore. You don't ever want to get to that point. That's like a cell phone that has died. The battery has died. And it's of no benefit to anybody. You can't call 911. You can't call anybody for help. You can't use the screen. It's of no benefit because it's dead. The battery's dead. And in the same way, if we're not careful in our spiritual lives, we can become dead. We can become burned out. We need to be recharged. We need to realize that there are distractions all around us, and we've got to make certain that we maintain our focus on the Lord at all times. And that I don't go in the one direction or in another direction, and I'm looking around at the waves and all the problems that are around me. Sometimes I just need to get away from the problems. Sometimes you just need to go to your closet. You just need to go to your place of rest and just get away. It doesn't have to be that you go on a 2-month vacation. It may be simply that today I turn off the phone and I'm going to spend today with the Lord. Today I'm going to do, if somebody has a problem, we're going to have to deal with it later. Because I need to turn off all my distractions, turn off, you know what, sometimes I think it would be beneficial for us to turn off the computer. Do you know how much time you waste on a computer? Do you know how much time we waste on our little cell phones? Do you know how much we're distracted when we're gone? And the whole world is distracted. You people having accidents every day simply because they're distracted. They're trying to do. They're listening to the radio and they're talking on the telephone. And when they're not talking on the telephone, they're texting. And that has caused a multitude of people to die because of distractions. You know, you hear about in the summer. You never heard when I was a child. You never heard about somebody leaving their little baby in a car and thinking that they had dropped him off at the daycare. But I can almost guarantee you that that person that was doing that had multiple things that they had in their mind. They were completely distracted, and as a result, there was a tragedy. They were on the phone trying to get ready for school, thought that they had dropped them off, and they're going, and then they come in, pick up the baby at the daycare, and they say, "You never dropped him off." And because of distractions, a life is lost. Or somebody's walking along, or somebody's driving along and they're texting. And, you're going to make certain that there's and a lot of us have been guilty of that, haven't we? Lord, help us. Texting or, nowadays you can do it just by talking. And that's better. But still, sometimes we just need to put the phone down. Have you ever thought about what we used to do before the cell phone? Has you ever thought about how we used to, people used to get what's called a dial tone. Do y'all know what that is nowadays? A dial, a busy signal. Not a dial tone. A busy signal. If I'm not available, I'm just not available. But now we feel like we've been conditioned to accept these distractions and feel like we've got to. And I'm guilty of this. That we've got to answer the phone every time it rings. We don't. We've got to respond to every distraction in our lives every time it happens. We don't. What I want us to get a hold of, if you don't get a hold of anything else today, don't allow your spiritual life to be distracted by these little bitty things, minutia, all this stuff that's around us, and we forget about the Lord. Don't be distracted to that point. May the Lord help us. Attend unto the Lord without distraction. Pray for me.